Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin, check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket. That's a ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay. Got to do 30 days locked up at CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag pipe on my bike, get the blow in. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat. Come on. Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to, I got an interview. It's Rusty getting interviewed. I'm going to play this and I'll be right back.
But what I'd like to do is I'd like you to take people back to where Attica 7 started. You know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again. Yeah. And what your emotions were like when you were putting these songs down on paper and how you got that inspiration. Okay.
Yeah, visualize yourself in a cell, 6x8, 8x12, whatever it is. You've just been ripped out of society with a possibility of never having a chance to ever see your family again outside of a cell somewhere or a visiting area in a prison while you're either shackled behind glass or under guard. And you're not expecting any of this to happen. It just happens. And all of a sudden, everything you've held dear, everything that you love is out of your reach. You know, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you think about what you do. Instead of just going out randomly and doing what you feel like doing, it makes you think before you do those things with those large consequences. And when you're in a motorcycle club, you're going to pay twice the consequence, maybe three times, maybe four times, of what the average person is going to pay for any action that you may take, or even a reaction to being attacked yourself. You become not the victim, but the perpetrator defending yourself because you're in a motorcycle club. So you have to think about all these things every day. It's like walking on the edge of a razor blade. And when you're doing your time, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade the whole time you're in, because you don't want to lose your good time, but you can't be weak. So you have to do whatever you got to do to survive honorably on the inside. Then when I got sentenced after being in over 21 months in MDCLA, they shipped me around a little bit, put me in the hole in a few other places waiting for my paperwork to come through, and then I got sent up to Oregon to a prison up there, and while I was up there, I was working out in the yard at least 5 days a week, and I rediscovered music totally by accident. I wasn't even into music. I knew how to play guitar. I played since I was 9. Took lessons from the time I was 9 to the time I was 15. Learned how to read, write music, finger picking, classical, the whole deal. But then I got out of it, got into motorcycles, and just picked up the guitar every once in a while, sometimes not for years. But it was in my head. The structure of music, the feeling, it was all there. So I don't know what happened, but after being up there for a few years, I was walking past this room where they did a lot of band rehearsals and the band program for inmates, and I just got inspired to start playing. And I joined a blues band, actually a blues rock band, and I said, you know, I'll come in, I'll play bass, guitar, I don't care. So they said, all right, come in and play bass. Well, I came in, the bass player hadn't gone home yet that I was replacing, so I played guitar, and they said, no, we want to keep you on the guitar. So I said, all right, you mind if I write some songs? They said, yeah. So I wrote one song the next week, another song the next week, and I was writing new music every week. Then they had a riot up there, and they sent me to Texas. When I got to Texas, I took a whole portfolio of my music with me, and 3 days after I got out of the hole up there, I was playing a concert in front of all the inmates. It was like 1,800 people in that yard. We were playing all my music, but that's because that was a blues, like a heavy blues. That's what I started writing was blues originally, kind of a blues rock, really, really heavily distorted. And then I gravitated towards down-tuned music while I was there. I did a lot of covers and my own music for quite a while, played at all the holidays. Then I think I wrote 32 songs over there. I've got all of them still, everything in the same paper I wrote it on. And I got so into it that I just decided when I get out, that's going to be my goal. I'm going to build a big band around good musicians, solid musicians, not a bar band, not a cover band. And it's just evolving into what I wanted it to be.
What would you say is your favorite Attica 7 song?
That's hard to say, but Devil's Daughter, Serial Killer, All or Nothing, Lockdown. I can keep going, man. It ended up being the whole damn album.
I got to agree with you with that. I mean, there's not a bad song on the CD. But can you take us back to where you were physically and mentally when you wrote one of these songs and what was going through your mind there?
When I wrote Lockdown, I was in a cell. And if you listen to the lyrics in Lockdown, it's an inmate. And it's definitely a serious prison song. Another one, No Redemption, wearing a number on your chest, having eyes in the back of your head, because that was the thing. You always had a number on. And you had to have eyes in the back of your head all the time.
Do you feel that had you not went to prison, that you would be where you're at today musically?
If I didn't go to prison, Attica 7 wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing music. It completely changed my life when I went in there. I redirected my thinking. And I'm glad. I love the music. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing with my business, building these fights. I love the music even more. And the TV, the different things that I'm into now, I mean, I'm enjoying every day. That's one thing I can say is out of that experience, when I finally did get out, I appreciate every day. Even a bad day is a great day.
One of the things that I noticed that when I went out to cover the Uproar tour is after I saw your band, there was an it factor, a magic, a something that that people can relate to and forget about problems and stuff like that with your music. And I fully believe that people are going to jump into your genre from others and come together with your music. What do you feel is the reason for that?
I think one of the reasons that that our music is so universal, it's not just one little niche like metal or just rock or something else. It draws people from all different genres because there is a little blues influence in there. There's the rock influence. There's the metal influence, and every riff that's in there was written with feeling. I mean, when I write riffs for music, I don't just write riffs to write riffs. I write riffs that I feel, hooks that I feel, and it's got to really, like, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know, it's like I know when I got those sweet spots in the groove, and that's what I incorporate into my choruses, into my verses, the breakdowns. I try to get the whole thing woven together so it's a feeling that you have. It's not just music. It's you feel the music, and that's important. You got to feel those hooks. That's what the hooks are, you know. And the same with the lyrics. When I write lyrics, 90% of the time, I write the lyrics after I've done all the riffs and the choruses, everything. They fall together, but I start out with the first line. first line is always the hardest line when I write, because it sets the pace for everything to follow, and then it just starts flowing like water. And it's very, a little bit of poetry, but it always tells a story almost every time. I don't want to just write ridiculous sentences, you know, just to fill the void with vocals. You know, I want it to tell a story. If you wrote it as poetry or just as a story, it has a beginning and an end usually.
My photography and my video is I try to look at things as a voyeur in letting people see the world through my camera. I see that same thing in your music. I mean, people are able to come into where you were and experience that, or, you know, relate things to their lives. What's your trick to letting people see that?
Well, like in the song Serial Killer, I'm not a killer. I've never killed anybody. But just as when you're an actor, you know, you act, you kill people in the movie, that doesn't make you a killer. But you have to be into that part. You have to become that person. And when I wrote that song, I really had to get deep into the character of this serial killer that was telling the story in his lyrics. And if you listen to the lyrics in that song, that's what it is. This is a guy that he's a killer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a killer. He can't help it. The demons take over, and he does what he does. It's not like he's looking for this to happen. It happens, and he tells it as the story comes out. When you're listening to the song, it's very evident that he's almost a victim of himself.
Wow. See, and I think that's the magic that all your songs have is you let people see it from the real thing. I mean, the real deal. The you know, what's in the mind of a serial killer. I mean, who knows that? And
yeah, I'll tell you, I've been in some places, I've been around some people that were that kind of people, and it emanates out of some of them. It just emanates so bad. I mean, you can feel it before they even say anything. And then there's others that they're like multiple personality type of people. They would be the nicest people in the world, but the other side of them is the homicidal side that flips, and it's like they're the most dangerous ones because they're a chameleon, and you can never trust people like that. But I've been in situations with a lot of people that are that type of people, both those kind of killers, and to try to put your mind in that place is it takes a minute to get there. And if you want to write something that's believable with that feeling, you have to get your mind there. You have to be that person to do it.
That's a scary thing to attempt to get into a place like that and get out.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember specifically when I did that, and I remember the feeling I had, and it wasn't a good feeling, let me tell you. I wouldn't be proud to think like that on a daily basis, let me tell you.
Well, there's not too many writers that are going to be able to come up with the music that you have. And again, I think that's probably the biggest part of listening to your CD that's out right now, that it's just every song on there. I mean, I instantly bought the CD, and there's not a song on there I don't like.
We've got a really, really good team of players right now. Without even having a bunch of rehearsals under our belt, we can go out and play shows, and we did. And a lot of the time you take players, you're going to have to play at least 7, 8, 9 rehearsals together before they're actually tight enough to go out in public. We didn't even need to do that in this case.
Yeah, I saw you guys on your second show, and I was hooked right then and there. Like I said, I think I even really got in trouble because I didn't photograph any other bands but you guys. But it pretty much paid off. And I think the other thing I liked about Attica 7 is that it was so cool to see you guys after you perform. You're at the merch booth, and you're there till the time you guys leave. I mean, you were there with a solid line of fans taking pictures and signing autographs. And I mean, you to me, that's a true rock star. I mean, you were passionate. It's like you guys, if you could afford it, would go out there and play for free. You know, just to play that music. I mean, that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, if it was just about the money, we would have quit doing this a long time ago. I would have quit way before I hooked up with the lineup that we have now. Money has nothing to do with it. And the fans, they're the most important, and we really appreciate it when we see these fans that come from 100 miles away or more to see the show. You know, stay at motels, and that's really true fans. And we're going to do everything we can to make that experience as good as we can for them. And when the show's over with, we're going to spend time with them. We're going to sign autographs, give them merch, you know, sell them merch, give them merch, everything. You know, we're going to make the experience as best we can for them.
It was funny watching you guys, you know, have fun with this, where you were throwing out the shot glasses and people were catching them as they're going by, and
yeah.
And you know, the parts that a lot of the fans don't get an opportunity to see, like the rock star life where you're living in truck stops and things like that. But and you even had on your tour manager Al. Wasn't there a couple of episodes with him where some funny things happen there with truck stops?
There's episodes of Al all the time. I fun with him daily. He's great entertainment. Yeah, I left him at least one truck stop. I actually sent him out to check the rear tire one time, and while he was out there, I locked the door, drove off, and left him at the truck stop. Hey, Al, come up here, will you?
What's up, Rusty?
I think that rear tire's low, man. Would you check that back, the tag axle?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, thanks.
Hey, shut that door when you get out, will you?
We're going to leave with that again, man. I got to lock this door. Another time at another truck stop, he was outside doing whatever, fueling or something, and I took off, and he actually ran, jumped up on the mirror of the bumper and held onto the thing, so I couldn't get rid of him that time. I had to stop and let him in. And I think at another venue, we were backing out, and I had him help back the bus out. He was guiding me as soon as I got out, just took off. And I heard I had the door open still while I was driving. It sounded like Fred Flintstone trying to catch the bus with those heavy feet. I said, damn, this guy can run, man. I had no clue he could run like that. I finally let him in that time, too. He deserved it. You know, he had to run quite a ways, you know. So,
you know, musically or through life in itself, if you could go back in time and change something, what would you change?
You know, it's funny because you say that, like, you know, I've thought about this many times. I would love to change the mistakes I made that sent me to prison. But then I think if I changed what sent me to prison last time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be going in a whole other direction. So I took a very bad experience that happened to me in 1999, and I turned it into a good thing. I took everything I had to work with, flipped it. And because of that, I'm so happy with everything I'm doing, I don't want to change that. And I would have to take that back, because there's really not much that I regret since I've been released. It's all been a pretty good trip.
Your bike building, I mean, this shop is, I mean, you're sitting in front of an $80,000 bike right there, and your bikes are amazing. Where is that going to go with Attica 7, you know, taking off?
You know, I look at what I have going on here like a triangle. It's like the devil's triangle. I've got Illusion, I've got the music, and I've got the TV. And it's all interlinked, and they all work for each other. So what one does pulls the other up, and they're all connected all the time. And I love it. It's a great cross-promotional type of a thing. Personal branding, bands, brand, bikes, brand, everything's doing well. So the better the music does, I think the better the bike business will do.
And the TV, Sons of Anarchy, that's a huge, huge show. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, it's just that was luck. You know, Kurt Sutter's a great guy. I really like him. He started that show 5 years guy. He went out and did his homework. He came by here. He's visited many Hells Angels. He wanted to go to the top of the food chain and learn about clubs, and he did. And it's a drama. You know, it's not real, but it can't be real. If you're going to be entertaining, you have to be dramatic. You have to have a lot of that stuff going on. That's what people need to not lose focus of. You know, it's a fantasy, but it's great. You know, but he did a lot of work in reality so that he could have the most realistic of fantasies. And look at it, it's a cult following, and the thing's crazy. It's over 5 million people regularly watching this. I'm honored to be part of it.
I've had the incredible fortune to travel with you guys on the road for what seems to be months, but it's only been a couple weeks.
with you wear on us a lot. It seems like yours to me, you know what I mean?
I don't make too many mistakes, but the ones I do make are pretty big, so.
Oh, like leaving me in a truck stop? Yeah, that was a good one. At 4 a.m, I think it was?
Yeah, it was pretty cool,
oh,
too.
Oh, man.
I felt pretty bad.
I'm glad I had my phone with me. That's all I could say. Or you guys would have been all the way to L.A. before you figured it
out. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put footage of that up there, so. But one of the things that I noticed is that everything that you do, whether you're driving a bus or orchestrating the band and your organizational skills and your leadership skills and when we go places, like last night, the Rainbow, after you played at the Key Club, I mean, they closed the place down, but you and your few select friends were allowed to stay. Something about you is just you know, people love. You know, what do you think that is?
I just try to treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And I look at people, you know, and I give them the equal respect that they deserve. And there's so many people out there that feel entitled to take. You know what I mean? And I hate that. Nobody's entitled like that. You should treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Because when somebody treats you bad with disrespect, you're not happy. And the people you treat bad feel the same way. It's no different. Nobody's entitled to treat anybody bad that doesn't deserve it, you know? So treat people the way they deserve to be treated, you know? And people will appreciate that. That's all. Just being fair, man. Consequences are the most important thing to think about. Everybody, if the action that you do, whether it be good or bad, always has consequences. If you do negative action, there's negative consequences. The bigger the action, the bigger the consequence. And those consequences don't go away. The action takes 2 seconds. We're all capable of all types of violence, all types of good, all types of bad. Anybody, I mean, from the smallest person, it doesn't matter your size. It matters your will to do it. And there's a lot of people out there, and they say, I don't care, I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You're going to care when you get nailed. You're going to care when you pay those consequences, because all this stuff out here, if you've never done time, been locked away in cells for a long time, you have no idea the consequences. And the people that have done it and say, oh, it ain't shit, well, I don't even fuck those guys. Their opinion doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What's it like being in a little cell, solitary?
You know, you get used to it. I'm sad to say, but you have to. If you don't get used to it, you're not going to survive. You're going to go nuts. People are adaptable. You can do just about anything, and over time, somebody's going to be adapting to whatever it is. You know, whether it be torture. In this day and age, there's not physical torture, but they've refined mental torture to a fine art. And if you've got the government pissed off at you, they have many ways to mentally break you down, and they'll try, you know, and if you're strong, you won't be broke down, but you're not going to have a good time while they're trying.
Absolutely. Attica 7, it's www.attica7.com. We got some great stuff coming up in the future, you think, here?
Yeah, I'm real excited about what's going on right now. I don't want to get into the details because it hasn't happened yet. And it's not good to talk about things that haven't happened yet with certainty, but we've got some good things coming up in 2013. I think you guys will be seeing us in many places.
Okay, so right now your fans can get CD on your website.
They can go to our website. They can go to iTunes, Amazon. think FYE or FYI, one of those stores, Best Buy.
Best Buy?
Yeah.
All right. And merchandise, shirts, things like that?
You got shirts, CDs, hats, posters, and the stuff's growing. You know, it's kind of in the infancy right now.
Music videos on the coming up?
Yeah, we do have one music video for Serial Killer that's done right now. I don't know if we're going to re-edit it. It's a good video, but I want to have a great video. So we'll see what happens there. We have plans for a series of videos coming up here within the next 2 to 3 months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, the fans are going to be in for a treat. I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate to travel with you guys, and you are my ultimate favorite. I've listened to a lot of bands, been with a lot of bands, but when people ask me what was your favorite tour, I'm going to have to say Attica 7.
Right on, man. You want me to tell you now? I left my wallet.
Check would be fine.
My
wallet's
at home. Sorry, man.
Actually, I was thinking about a new bike. I mean, that one behind you looks pretty
what?
Good. So a new bike.
What?
Bike.
I can't hear you. What?
Motorcycle.
Huh? I can't hear him. I've been playing so much, I can't hear him.
That thing behind you lit up really
good. Like this?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
My sight is messed up, too, man. I got to start getting rough.
Yeah.
I'm Rusty Coons with the band Attica 7, and you've been watching Rock Biz Magazine.
Well, that never gets old.
That is amazing.
Huh?
Just amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah. That's true.
Fantastic interview. Did a great job.
They had a guy at their show in a wheelchair, and the crowd picked him up.
Oh, I saw that.
Passed him all the way up to the front of the stage, and he stayed up there the whole set.
You know, when I saw that, I'm like, because I showed that to my daughter, Megan. She knows I listen to both his music and Mike's music, you know. And so she's like, people don't do that. You know, and what she's then referring in regards to is metal bands. Metal bands, you know, they don't do that. She has heard about it through, like, country western singers, you know, stuff like that. But when she saw it, it was, that is awesome. I said, I know, right? You know? And I said, a great band. She's heard me hear the music, everything like that, you know. And like I said, it's amazing. He's come a long way. It doesn't matter what he's done. It's where he's at and where he's going. And that's what matters. And what he's achieved.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. And what they all have, you know.
Yep. What's going
and
on over there?
He's going to be so close to my house, I can't even go there to see it. Oh, my freaking God.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
I'd go.
I wish I could.
Yeah.
If things were different, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so it's just back and forth. Running around crazy.
Yeah. I've been doing that since my aunt had surgery. My back's about ready to, you know, pop out on me. And, you know, last night was first night that Jonathan had slept in the room with Megan, you know, so he actually slept for the night, thank God, because the night before he had me up every hour. I'm like, then we just go to sleep. Oh, poor baby. He could not understand why he couldn't be near mommy, you know. And but it's so awesome. He is scooting for the first time, and it's so cool to see it. You know, he's a little bit delayed. You know, that's okay. We know this. But they set his surgery back to July 30th now. We're hoping it doesn't get changed again, but at least finally after 7 months they figured out what was wrong with Megan, so, and she was able today to eat a full meal that I made.
Yeah.
Not any stomach problems. That was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I ran into Bill Saturday at the thing.
How's it going? How are your things that took place?
Pretty good.
Did you go see Southbound? Or no?
Yeah, we seen him there. Or I seen him there, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, was everything cool? Was it a nice event?
I was nervous. I wasn't there long enough. I breathed in and breathed out.
Yeah, I know, because you're, like, everywhere.
But, Bill said it was a pretty good crowd. I met their Playboy model. And
cool.
Then,
did you get pictures with her?
No.
Oh.
No, Bill had his bike parked in front of the stage for $15.
That's funny. I'm sorry. They're not coming for you.
The Wounded Warriors.
Oh. Did they collect enough for the Wounded Warriors?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Stayed there long enough to find out. I just going on and I had to
I know.
Leave.
In and out. I can always find out.
Then I talked to the band. I got one of their CDs. We'll see what happens from there, but...
Who has a CD?
I do. I don't remember.
No, I mean, where did you get it from? That's why I didn't hear.
I got it from the band that's playing.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Hello, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Fran?
How about Eunice?
Eunice. Hi, Eunice.
Eunice.
Hey.
Hello, Eunice.
I'm sorry. I can't see, so I only go by what Phil says.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
He said Fran, I thought, okay, Fran.
Well, it was Eunice.
I know. How are you feeling?
Well, better. We went to a swole doctor's today and fell again.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Please don't hurt yourself. Oh, I wanted to apologize for not getting back to you the other night when you called because my daughter had to have surgery, and I've been like a crazy maniac. Oh, she's fine now. She can finally eat. She can eat a full meal now, and she doesn't have stomach problems no more.
That's great. Great.
Yeah. Took 7 months, but...
Yeah. I called Thursday night. What happened? There was no show.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, there was.
Well, they're telling me there was no show when I called in.
What time did
you
call?
Oh, God.
I don't know. Probably 10-ish, I guess.
Too late.
10.
Why was it too late? You only had an hour show?
No, a two-hour show, but you weren't there. You sure you were calling me?
Yep. I knew Hermes had no show, and then I called you guys Thursday, and they said there was no show. I think that's why I called you, Nora, to find out why there wasn't a show.
Oh, yeah, we were still alive when you called.
Yeah, that's why I called you.
Well, I had Phil mute me, you know, because I was with the baby and stuff, you know, because... My daughter couldn't hold him or anything because of the surgery. So I already forewarned him earlier that day, just keep me muted, you know. But like I said, no, but that happened to me before, you know, where I called in and no show for 24 hours. And then I find Phil and is there a show, you know.
Well, that's what they said. That's why I called you. If you look, you'll see it was Thursday night that I called
you.
No,
I know.
Yeah.
It's on my call list.
So that's what happened Thursday night, because my husband heard it. And what I did was I felt to the left, was in front of my girl, so I got my shoulder, which was nice. So went to the doctors today, and they took me off that one high blood pressure pill today because the weight that I was putting on was due to that. And all the weight I took off, I put almost all of it back. I'm full of fluid again.
Oh, God.
So, but everything should be copacetic by, you know, this week. So.
Good.
But I'm hurting all over, you know. It's.
I am sure you are. You know, you have to be very careful.
Between the leg and that. But I'll tell you, the lung doctor today told me that he says, I cannot believe that you had cancer in one lung and you smoke. He says, because y'all lungs, they put me through that breathing test today.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you ever had one of those. And it's supposed to see how,
years ago.
Yeah, to see how good your lungs are, you know. And he says, I cannot believe that you're a smoker and you had lung cancer. He says, you've got lungs of 18-year-old kids. I almost fell off the bed or off his chair, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I would have loved to have been in bed with him because that was Dr. David.
Okay, see, now we know the reason why you're falling down, so you can go see the hot doctors.
Jesus Christ. My husband came with me.
Oh, well, that's okay. He could go send them for a pop or something.
Yeah, well, I said I was in love with them when I was so sick, and I'm still in love with them. So, but he is, you know, he is just so ooky. Oh, good.
I wish I could have someone just knock on my door and say, hey, and I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, come in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys say hello to Fran.
Don't be shy. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Sorry, I had to unmute you.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Okay.
Buddy?
Are you having a rough day?
Hey, you know what? I never have a rough day. Because you know what? Okay. If I have a rough day, it only gets better.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
we're
people
talking about.
Not just in general. You having a bad day? Not a bad day. It's just a different day, and it always improves over time.
But, well, you've got a good outlook, Fran, let me tell you.
No, it's just people are afraid of me, which is, you know what? If people don't want to respect me, at least fear me. I don't give a shit. Take either one.
Hey, I'm with you on that one, Fran. I have no problem telling somebody right to their face to go fuck themselves sideways. I don't care.
I mean, I don't
I'm
either.
Only 5'2". I mean, you're not a tall woman either,
must be,
you know.
It must be Chinese, right? When you
who?
Said sideways.
Yeah.
Could be.
Oh, well, that's what I heard. It was always
well,
sideways.
Well, I look at
you know.
It this way. You know, for some reason, people fear shorter women more than what they do taller women. You know, we can be very nice. Very polite, you know, very good-natured, but it takes one asshole to screw up a day, and we have no problem jumping in their face, you know, and they don't, well, men don't like that. I don't care. So many a big men that go fuck themselves.
Well, life's a choice. Yeah, and hopefully it's the right one.
Well, I told
that's
my ex to go fuck himself, and he beat the shit out of me, but I told him again. Be my guest.
That's why they're an ex, you know.
Yeah, I only got to hear part of the show earlier, and when you were talking about, you know, the show being not on and being kicked off and all that,
mm-hmm.
I swear that they had my name on it because I couldn't, tonight, I couldn't stop my computer from blaring at me, beeping at different things. And it's like,
wow,
there's nothing running other than the show. And it just kept going, ding, ding, ding. And I was like, okay, I give up.
No, somebody was trying to ping something through. And whatever you have on your internet, probably left your, if you have Norton's or something, you know, and that's what happens. Somebody's trying to get in, it pings them back.
The only thing I have on is the show. There's nothing else that I have on that computer at this time. I turned the computer on for this show.
Right.
And I have nothing but grief. I was kicked off twice while I was typing. I was actually kicked off 5 times while I was listening to the show. So last week when it said that the show wasn't running, I had the same problem. It was like, really?
Yeah, see? Philip, stop throwing things because it's not going to help matters.
No, but I'd like to know who is out there that is interfering with
That's
the connection
easy.
To the show.
That's easy.
Is that those guys in the van again?
Yeah.
Oh,
Phil, did you hear what Fran said? That she had the same problem last week.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We talked to Fran last week.
Right. But I also had trouble, just like I had this week, where I was typing and got kicked off twice, got off, kicked off the station listening 5 times. And then when you said call in, I figured, you know what? It's easier. It's just easier than trying to do it through the computer.
Wow. Well, you know, on the last show, even though I was muted, it was funny because after when the show was done, I go to set my phone down and the couch cushion, you know, next to where I was sitting, and my phone just powered off on its own. I'm like, oh, cool. And I go to power it back on, and I go to set it down, and it shut down again. I go, okay. I'm playing on my phone.
Yeah.
Well, I've never had it happen before. I mean, I've been on the phone with people, and all of a sudden it just went dead. I'm like, oh, okay. Somebody didn't like that.
How they do that every once in a while, they just zap everybody.
Yeah.
Mm. I think they have their favorites, though.
Huh?
I think they have their favorites in blocking.
Yeah.
And I guess they also don't realize that they might try and block, but there's few that have more audacity and perseverance than they have balls to keep it running.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm going to call it a shot evening tonight, too, because I'm... been
You're
running
tired.
Around all day, and I'm totally exhausted. I really am.
Okay.
You'd be going, Eunice, wake up, Eunice, you know.
Please be careful.
I will. I even went out, my husband went out and bought a railing for the side of the bed, so I told him the next thing he's going to have to do is get, remember the harnesses we used to put on our kids
to keep them in bed.
Yeah. I told him he'd have to get one of those for me, too. You know, so. Oh, God.
If you have issues of not being stable,
do yourself
a favor. Don't buy a cane, the walker. Get yourself a Canadian crutch or crutches. One, you'll stand upright, so you look out instead of looking down because the cane makes you hunched over. Same thing with the walker. But if you use Canadian crutches, it will give you more stability than anything else that you could use.
Yep. Well, I've tried everything. I'm just going to leave it in God's hands now. Jesus, I'm telling you. But I can feel myself dozing off, so I don't want to mess up the program. So I'll give a call on Thursday night. Okay, guys?
Okay. Take it easy.
Thursday night's going to be the 4th, so happy 4th. I won't be on the line.
Okay.
All right, there's no show on Thursday?
No show on Thursday.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you guys later then.
Okay, take care. Happy 4th of July.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah, bye-bye.
So, as I typed, and the gentleman was saying, you know, treat people like how you want to be treated. That's all fine and good up until you're a female biker. And when you're a female biker, some of the non... I'm trying to be polite. I can't necessarily say Christian-based. Homophobic. There you go. That's a good tag for them. And if they think that you're gay, because I ride a bike, I must be gay. I must be a lesbian. They treat me really poorly. And then, after a couple of weeks or later, they find out, oh, I have a real man. And all of a sudden, they accept me because I have a real man. And because I ride a bike, that was the first point that they put the label that I'm a lesbian. And I didn't realize that all women who ride bikes have to be lesbian in order to ride a bike. You know, it's like sometimes labels really suck, but the good news to that is this. That also shows and tells me that these particular individuals are not trustworthy. And they aren't, because they've already made a decision without even knowing the circumstances or the individual.
Right.
So actually, I'm actually ahead of the game on that one. But it's still annoying.
Well, I'm just surprised that you get profiled like that. What is the problem?
California.
You have a number of people that are in my craft that are homophobic. They're born-again Christians.
Hey, I'll be right back. Keep...
Pardon?
I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
You're talking of different religious groups.
Okay.
They're just homophobics.
I'm sorry. I just don't get that because I have never assumed or thought that any female writers are gay or are bi, you know. I mean, people are who they are, you know, in their own private life. That's fine. That's their business. You know what I mean? But I've never looked at anybody like that. Never. There's no reason to.
When you're dealing with, like I say, certain religious groups that automatically assume that gay people shouldn't have the right to live.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. And it's like, because I ride a bike, they automatically assume that I'm a lesbian, which is okay. I mean, you wanna put a label on me and it makes you happy, go for it. I don't care. I've never had a problem with that because I know who I am. And that's the one thing that's really nice about bikers is the majority of bikers, not necessarily some of the other ones, but the majority of bikers, because they know who they are and they stand firm in their own convictions.
Right.
They do not have a problem with whatever.
Right.
I mean, I remember going to a biker Halloween party for the first time.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I saw some of the most gorgeous men dressed up as, I can't think what her name is, the she's like a witch. And
okay.
These guys, yeah, can't think what her name is. These guys, these bikers, were dressed better than she was.
Wow.
Better than I could ever dress. And these are hardcore bikers. But
right.
You know something? It was wonderful. It was truly wonderful because, again, most all of the bikers that I know
yeah.
are very secure with themselves. And they don't really care what other people think.
Right.
So, I'm in my element with the individuals I'm around.
Right.
So I couldn't care less. And it was kind of interesting because, again, with my photography, there was a good friend of mine and said, you know, when I see you taking photography, you're always in your own element when you're out there doing those photos. And
right.
She's right. I so enjoy doing the photography of all the different groups. Sorry I didn't make it on Saturday, but cooking all day Friday and then knowing I had to cook all day on Sunday was just not going to make it in between.
Right.
Yeah.
Elvira, that's the person.
Oh, okay.
All these guys are dressed up as Elvira. And
wow.
God, these guys are gorgeous. Ah! What am I going to say? Life is good. So I understand that this is the big weekend for the going down to Mexico.
No, next weekend.
Next.
Oh,
okay,
you'll
so
have to
not,
take photos so I can see.
So it's not this weekend?
Next weekend.
So that's what, like the 16th something?
13th. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I have to see if I can somehow swing that one.
What, to Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've been down in Mexico.
Yeah.
Now, I remember going down in the earlier years with John, and John would take his cousin on the back of his. And, of course, I had a little bit more of a girlish figure back then. And a
okay.
lot of the Mexican men at the toll booth and the Federales that were having the traffic control, it was always amazing because they would always stop and hold me because it was such an interesting novelty to have a woman rider that did that. It was like, yeah, but you know what? It's okay. Life is good.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Well, you might want to call Bill and get together with him. Because he's going to meet me.
Okay.
He's riding down there.
Okay. Let me, I have Jamie's here with me. She just took the kids down to the water.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't know how
she
long...
She showed up, huh?
Jamie. Yeah, she did. I don't know how long she's staying.
Okay.
But if she...
Supposed
if
to come
it's kind
see
of
me
cool,
Thursday.
She stays, oh, only till Thursday? Yeah.
No, she's supposed to come see me Thursday.
Oh. Yeah, that's going to be 4th of July. Getting back here into OB. And a parking space is going to be real tough.
I don't know.
That's
just tell me what
you... Yeah, if it weren't that she had the two kids here, I told her Thursday I'm going up there to go in, what is it, the Encinitas Parade? And I could have dropped her off on the bike, but the two kids are here.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I've been in a parade.
Yeah. Just tell her to give me a call.
Okay. I will do that. I will do that, without a doubt. I was going to, there's something I wanted to ask you and I forgot. I was going to say, have we got any other women bikers out there tonight?
No.
It'd be kind of nice to have some of the women bikers calling in to...
Unless they're listening, no.
Experiences are.
No.
I had one individual, and they said, well, I don't like driving my bike on gravel or sand. So they have their partner do it. And my response to her, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My response to her was, a smart biker is one that knows enough to not get on the bike when it's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the person can't drive the bike on gravel or sand or what have you. It's just that the person prefers not to. And there's a difference in not wanting to and not being able to. People seem to mix that mindset, which is kind of a shame.
But
some of the car drivers are really getting squirrely. The heat must be getting to their brain.
Yeah, I don't know what their problem is, because I had some squirrely ones myself. I had a guy open a car door.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a spitter. And I was like, that is so discourteous.
Yeah.
And, there's times when I really do wish I was a cop, because if I were a cop, at that point, pull that sucker over and give him a ticket. Well, the only two things that are allowed to leave a vehicle are water because of melting ice. That was where that originated from. And chicken. Yeah, there's feathers, chickens. And so unless it's feathers or water from ice, nothing else is supposed to leave your vehicle. And unfortunately, some of the individuals that are out there driving are not very educated.
No.
Actually, they're educated. They just don't care.
I got some. This is probably the best Second Amendment speech ever. It's made by a guy named Aaron Weiss. He's an Iraq combat vet. And he's speaking to the Dutchess County against the SAFE Act. So check this out.
Hello. My name is Aaron Weiss, and I live in the town of Poughkeepsie. I'm a combat veteran of Iraq, and I'm also a law enforcement officer. I attended the Public Safety Committee's last meeting in regards to this resolution, but I didn't say anything because I wanted to hear what everyone else had to say. And I heard some shocking things from some people and some legislators. They said that it took a lot of courage to pass this SAFE Act. Apparently, my definition of courage differs from yours. You see, it was really so courageous a bill, and it took so much courage to pass it, then why was it done in the middle of the night when no one could see it or read it? That's not courage. That's a mafia-style sit-down to divvy up what's good for the bosses. Courage is taking the right and true course of action, not the politically expedient one. And anyone who is proud of this law must also be proud of the Patriot Act, the TSA, imprisoning Japanese citizens in World War II, since all these actions were spurred on by emotional fear and rammed through in the name of public safety. The issue is the insistence of certain people to stand on the graves of dead children First off, why did children your battle cry? You didn't say anything about the hundreds of Chicago children being killed, and for some reason you only scream when it happens to wealthy white ones. And yes, I will say to anyone's face, my right is more important than your dead, because I fought for it firsthand. I washed the blood of my friends out of my Humvee, and I picked up their mangled bodies, and I fought day in and day out. I did more things that you people can't imagine. So yeah, my right trumps your dead. I earned it in blood. I gave up a lot for this country, including my youth, and better men than me gave up a whole lot more, so that all you, myself included, could enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And we didn't go through all that to come back home and watch the surrender of what we fought for happen based on the demented actions of a couple madmen. So in closing, I would like to address specifically the legislators we all know who are going to vote against this resolution. I understand you will vote against this resolution based on some misguided sense of the public good. However, as a law enforcement officer, I'm curious to know about your true resolve. Since voting to take away someone's rights is totally different than being asked to enforce it, I want you to consider this. If you support the SAFE Act so wholeheartedly, are you willing to stand with law enforcement members and lead from the front to enforcement? And what I mean by that is if a constituent of yours feels so alienated by this law and the manner in which it was passed that they refuse to comply with it, are you willing to stack up on their front door and go in first? I bet if a clause was in this bill that required you, the elected leadership, our elected leaders, to go in the door first, I bet you would not be so steadfast.
Can you say it any better?
That was awesome. You're going to need to send me the link on that.
Down
now,
page.
You do know that John and I were from Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah. Well, just go on the page. Just go on the page and copy and paste it.
Okay.
There. Send it to you right.
Okay. You know that Dutchess County, which is what he was talking about, and John and I joined a bait in Dutchess Camp. Dutchess County, because they were doing selective enforcement of the motorcyclists in Dutchess County, because that's how bad they wanted to get the bikers out of Dutchess County, Poughkeepsie, New York, and what have you. So I truly commend this man.
Yeah. They just don't get it.
No, they don't. And the people that are out there, the one that just tried opening a car door on you, to the individuals out there that think it's okay to try and squeeze you because they have a bigger vehicle and they can do so, to one of our officers here that actually lost a limb because a new teenager was texting while driving. And that,
mm-hmm.
and so he the cost to him was losing a limb. And at this point, unless he becomes a desk jockey, he's no longer going to be able to be out there on the force. And that
He's going to be a test case, and he's going to be he's getting his first leg this week, and then 3 weeks from now he's going to get another one.
Okay, but he's still not going to be, unless he can perform his duties with the artificial limbs, then he's not, he's not going to be able to do his old job, which that forces him into another position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that. I mean, that's basically, the protocol. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And there was one officer, and this goes back a few years, where he had an artificial leg, and they were going to pull him off the beat because he had an artificial leg. And he said, no. I can still perform my duties out here in the field, even with the artificial leg. and he actually performed it better than some of his coworkers with a fake leg.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of difficulty out there, because again, I think there's the misunderstanding that we all have rights, and they think that they have the power to take away our rights. I wish somehow that we could get somehow with that commercial where the woman is saying, what gives you the right to come in and tell me what to do in my own kitchen? And of course they picked someone that wasn't really skinny. They didn't pick someone who was overly obese, you know, kind of middle of the road. And but it'd be kind of nice if we can get something like that where, you know what? Yo, get off our backs, people. We have the right to the road just like everybody else.
Yeah. So a lot of crazy.
Well, there is a lot of crazy people. And again, you know, when I was looking at an officer and the fact I had said something to this motorcycle cop, I mean, this guy went out of his way to almost hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stopped at the light. I said something to the motorcycle cop, and his response was to me, oh, well, you know, we're hard to see. It was like, this guy that is kind of almost hit me. I'm telling you what happened, and you should have seen it in your mirror anyway, and you're telling me that it doesn't matter because we're hard to see.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not necessarily hard to see with all the stuff that's on my bike. I'm probably easier to see than some of these cars that are jumping from lane to lane. And that's another whole issue, with that in itself.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they're actually going to start doing, or if they're really going to start cracking down on individuals that are texting. But something needs to be done in that respect, that if they are on the phone or they're texting and they, I don't care if it's hitting another car, hitting us, hitting bicyclists, that there should be an added penalty. Something that says, you know what? We're not going to put up with it anymore.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. Too much bullshit. Too much money from the insurance companies.
They would rather put more rules and regulations on us, who are basically law-abiding individuals, than those that tread on us. So, I mean, it's just, it's very annoying when you have that type of situation going on. I mean, I'm usually really good, but to be honest with you, when there was road rage and it was on the shoulder, passing me on the shoulder, that really took me by surprise. And it wasn't even one car, it was two of them. And having the spray of the gravel because they were on the shoulder. And I was in slow traffic because it was, you know, that kind of late time of day. And it was like, you know what? I would not have had a hope or a prayer on that one. If either one of those had hit me, if I had moved over because there was something in the road, these fuckers would have had me. And one of the guys that's in our group, in the American Legions, he was actually stopping because the traffic was stopping because it was high traffic time, and an individual rear-ended him because they were texting.
Wow.
I mean, really? So like I say, at this point, there should be an added penalty of something. I don't remember what country it is, but if you injure somebody, then you actually have to pick up some of the liability, responsibility for what you've done to that person or to that family.
Japan?
And you know something, at this point, I don't have a bit of problem with that. I really don't. I mean, we're getting to a point where people are not being held to the responsibilities of others.
Yeah. 774.
774?
Yeah.
Hermes, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going, brother?
Good. How you doing?
Not bad for an old guy. Just getting back into town over here. Figure I'd give you a call before you ran off without me on the show. What you guys talking about tonight?
Oh, we're talking about people opening car doors, throwing shit out the windows, almost running you over. You talk to a motor cop and he says, well, you know, we're hard to see. Shit like that. Same typical bullshit that goes on in California freeway.
Maybe one day we'll be able to see some people opening fucking airplane doors and throwing people out, like, from the White House and shit, getting rid of some of that garbage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hear you, brother.
I'm 2 for 2 on cell phones driving.
I hear you, brother. Oh, shit.
Got one a couple weeks. Got another one a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah?
Got that dumbfounded look when I threw it in southbound traffic.
Hey, brother, what's going on in the world out there today? You got, you know, you've been following the Edward Snowden thing, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say something, or you see, you know, they came out with that, see something, say something. He did. Now he's fucked.
Well, he's only doing what he's supposed to do. He took an oath. He's living up to the oath, you know, unlike that piece of shit president we got. You know, he took the oath, too. He took the
well, you know, the other thing that prick did was every year on the 4th of July, every base that we have has fireworks for the 4th of July. Instead of having it on the East Coast, he used $100 million to go to Africa.
Yeah. And they don't like him in Africa anyway.
No.
Hey, check this out. Today, I don't know if you might be aware of it. I don't know. You might have even talked about it already. I don't know. But France and Portugal refused to let the airplane that was carrying the Bolivian president, they refused to let the plane fly over their airspace because they thought maybe Edward Snowden was on that plane. Because that plane was coming out of Russia. He was over there attending some meetings in Russia, and they thought that he might have Snowden on the plane. Now, what I got to say about that is France can go fuck themselves, and so can Portugal, because since when did they start doing the work of that son of a bitch piece of shit in the White House? That Snowden is a hero. He's an American hero. He did what he was supposed to do. He took an oath to obey the Constitution and protect the Constitution, and then also to speak out against anybody in government that's breaking the law. That's what he did. And they're all supposed to do that. They sign on to that. And they want to make him out to be the bad guy, and it's them. They're the bad guys. They're the ones that got caught illegally listening to, wiretapping and capturing all our communications illegally, and they got a fucking problem with that guy, you know? I just don't get it. And the American public is sitting around fucking playing with themselves while people in much less sophisticated countries are out in the street in droves. Egypt today, you know. And,
well, you seen that one where the guy told his wife, "Hey, I'm gonna blindfold you. I got a surprise for you," and he cut off her hands.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, why do you do that? I mean, you know, that's look at. There are so many things that are going on in this world, and I know you know the deal, brother. Especially in this country, with the way that. The government is treating us, the people. We the people. We run this motherfucker here. This is our country. Not Barack Obama's and none of those other bullshit bozos. This is our country. But the people in this country have given this bozo free reign. I don't know what it is. I think America's become the land of pussies or something. I don't know what it is.
I'll tell you what. Here's a Marine, a combat vet from Iraq. Listen to what this gentleman had to say. This is Aaron Weiss. He speaks to the motion to repeal the SAFE Act at the Dutchess County Legislature in New York State. Listen to this.
Hello. My name is Aaron Weiss, and I live in the town of Poughkeepsie. I'm a combat veteran of Iraq, and I'm also a law enforcement officer. I attended the Public Safety Committee's last meeting in regards to this resolution, but I didn't say anything because I wanted to hear what everyone else had to say. And I heard some shocking things from some people and some legislators. They said that it took a lot of courage to pass this SAFE Act. Apparently, my definition of courage differs from yours. You see, it was really so courageous, the bill, and it took so much courage to pass it, then why was it done in the middle of the night when no one could see it or read it? That's not courage. That's a mafia-style sit-down to divvy up what's good for the bosses. Courage is taking the right and true course of action, not the politically expedient one. And anyone who is proud of this law must also be proud of the Patriot Act, the TSA, imprisoning Japanese citizens in World War II, since all these actions were spurred on by emotional fear and rammed through in the name of public safety. Another issue is the insistence of certain people to stand on the graves of dead children and challenge those that disagree to say it to the parents' faces. Well, I, for one, will pick up that gauntlet. First off, why is dead children your battle cry? You didn't say anything about the hundreds of Chicago children being killed, and for some reason you only scream when it happens to wealthy white ones. And yes, I will say to anyone's face, my right is more important than your dead because I fought for it firsthand. I washed the blood of my friends out of my Humvee, and I picked up the meal of bodies, and I fought day in and day out. I did more things that you people can't imagine. So yeah, my right trumps your dead. I earned it in blood. I gave up a lot for this country, including my youth, and better men than me gave up a whole lot more so that all you, myself included, could enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And we didn't go through all that to come back home and watch the surrender of what we fought for happen based on the demented actions of a couple madmen. So in closing, I would like to address specifically the legislators we all know who are going to vote against this resolution. I understand you will vote against this resolution based on some misguided sense of the public good. However, as a law enforcement officer, I'm curious to know about your true resolve. Since voting to take away someone's rights is totally different than being asked to enforce it, I want you to consider this. If you support the SAFE Act so wholeheartedly, are you willing to stand with law enforcement members and lead from the front to enforcement? And what I mean by that is, if a constituent of yours feels so alienated by this law and the manner in which it was passed that they refuse to comply with it, are you willing to stack up on their front door and go in first? I bet if a clause was in this bill that required you, the elected leadership, our elected leaders, to go in the door first, I bet you would not be so steadfast.
There you go.
Does it get any better than that? Everybody hear that okay?
Yeah. The only problem with that is, you know what? We need fucking hundreds of, we need millions of guys like that. You know? Because what's going on in this country today, it's like, you know, the people are just like, you know, they're fucking dead. I don't know. It must be Prozac or something. In the water? I used to joke and say it's in the water. Something got to be in the air. Something in the water. Well, it is. Monsanto's been poisoning the water, and they've been poisoning our skies with the aluminum and the barium with their spraying operations. And Americans are just sitting there.
I want to jump in just for one minute. Let me give you a little history of Poughkeepsie, New York. Poughkeepsie, New York is known to be one of the most dirtiest towns of politicians. Two, back, and I can't remember what year it was, but they had what was called the book burning. By domain, they took this man's house. The money that they wanted to give this man for this house wouldn't even pay to move these books that were in his house that were all over X amount of years old. The city fathers of Poughkeepsie, New York, went in and burnt his house down. It was on the cover of Look magazine when Life magazine when that was still in publication. You are really talking about a truly dirty, backhanded town. I've been in some hick towns that were actually had more morals than that town does. I was born and I was raised in that town, and it's a filthy town. I didn't know it 25 years that I was supposed to grease the palm of the building inspector because I was an honest owner of a house there. I just wanted you to know what Poughkeepsie's like. That is a really dirty town.
I believe that. And you know what? That seems to be the norm across this country now. But see, here's what we should be reading. When people read that guy's house was burnt down and the books were burnt, this is what we should have read the next day. The next day we should have been reading that all of the town's politicians' houses were all burnt, too. That's what we should have been reading. We should have been reading that not only were they burnt, they were either taken hostage or chased out of town. That's what we should be reading. But you know what? We didn't read that. We just read about that poor son of a bitch losing his house and everything in it. And that's the difference between America many years ago. I mean, you don't have to go back too far, just the 60s to see what was going on then, and in America today. Today, if someone from the government tells people to just, you know, spread them, empty your pockets and spread them, people do so. And they do so under the pretense of, well, it's for my own good, for my safety. What bullshit. What bullshit. You know, I got news for you. I'm not a tough guy, and I don't have a gang, and I'm not a member in any society where I can give orders, but I got news for you. The town comes and burns the house I'm in. The cops come and burn the house I'm in. They don't kill me. Guess what? Their fucking house is burning the next fucking day, guaranteed. They're going to throw me in jail. Fuck them. And that's what every American should take a stand like that, because this is our country, not theirs. As public servants, they work for us. We pay their salaries through our taxes. And they need to be acting accordingly. But they will only do so if we make them. And that's
right.
Why this country is the way it is.
Absolutely.
Now look at Brazil. I mean, come on. Brazil is known as, really, has been known as a really laid-back country. Beautiful people come from Brazil, right? It seems like the men are beautiful. If you're a girl, they love the men. You know, they're not fat. Nobody's fat in Brazil. The women have killer bodies. They got great breasts. I mean, everybody looks beautiful in Brazil. It's a laid-back place. They have over a million people in the streets, man, protesting, rushing the Congress building. What's going on in America? Not then. Why? I don't get that. See, that's I'm missing. I'm missing something, and I'm trying to find out what the fuck it is I'm missing here, because
yeah,
I believe everything we were taught in school. And when I was in school, we were taught about the Civil War, the Tea Party, the Revolution. We were taught about all that stuff, and our forefathers and the people that gave their lives for the Constitution. And like that gentleman was speaking not a few minutes ago on this show, on the recording, the Iraq vet. These guys go over there and fight so we can have our rights, so they can have our rights, and you got some son of a bitch that ain't even an American fucking citizen come over here, land in the White House, and then tell us we don't have any fucking rights? And we tolerate this bullshit? Come on. I get upset because I love my country. I love being in this country. I love the rights I had. I want them back. It's time America stands the fuck up and stops talking about the bullshit and stands up and takes our fucking country back. That's my opinion. And for those of you out there that are listening, that think that it can't be done, you're right.
Done.
If you think that it can't be done, then you get out of the way. Let people that have, you know what? I heard something a long time ago by someone that said, if you think you can't do something, right, get the fuck out of the way and let the people that are doing it get by.
Because yeah, lead, follow, or get out of the way.
That's it. There's no other way. There's no other way. And to believe the bullshit that's been crammed down our throats.
I'm a firm believer in what Chesty Puller once said. I'm completely surrounded, but that simplifies the problem.
Absolutely. I do my shows here, and I'll be doing my show tomorrow, and I'll be doing a couple other shows over the weekend. It's our Independence Day. It's the 4th of July. It's not the 4th of July. That's a date on the calendar. It's fucking Independence Day is what it is, And if we tolerate it much longer, we're going to have that black son of a bitch in the White House telling us it's not even that. It's going to be fucking Muslim Appreciation fucking Day or something. And we need to put a stop to this bullshit once and for all already. This shit's getting sickening. Most Americans don't even realize that come January 1st, their fucking insurance premiums are going to double.
Triple.
Friday, the United States Congress refused to act. They would not take a vote on college tuitions. And because they were too fucking arrogant and lazy and stupid and whatever else you can call them, and did not take a vote on it, the tuition rates in this country doubled. They doubled Friday. Okay? This, from the greatest country in the world, this is bullshit. For Christ's sakes, I'm ashamed almost to say I'm an American. We got people in Brazil, the peace-loving people, the happy people are out there, a million of them in the fucking streets saying, hey, bullshit, we ain't taking this no more. Savages over in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhoods, Islamists, these people that are savages out there saying, we're not going to take this anymore. They're out in the streets fighting with sticks, for Christ's sakes, and rocks. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, this evening, it was reported that the police in Egypt now has backed off, and they're actually watching the people in the streets destroy the Muslim Brotherhood headquarters and such. So even that the police department has said, you know what, we've had enough of this fucking shit. And you know what, those are in countries that, like, really don't have nothing to lose. Those people have been under dictatorship all their lives. And here, where we have everything to lose, we're just sitting by watching this shit. We've got to be ashamed of ourselves.
And the bad part is that, everybody says, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. And there's only a few of us doing what we do.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you know what? I've had the discussion with several people, because people say to me, well, what do you do about it? I say, well, I don't do nothing. But I'll tell you what I'm doing. To you, it probably doesn't mean shit. I have a website, and I have a blog, and I put my honest feelings on how I feel about what's going on, and I name names, and I call them dirtbags, bastards, assholes, whatever I feel like calling them. And I have a radio show that I get on the air 2, 3, 4 times a week, and I do shows on, and they're starting to lug people like us off of the air and into jails and stuff because they don't want the truth out, and they hate it when we tell the truth. And so, actually, to spread the word and make and help to wake the people up, to become someone that helps awaken a sleeping dog, is not a very popular place to be, especially with the regime that's out there now. They're blowing people's cars up and shit. They're a nasty bunch of son of a bitches out there. They're playing for keeps. But
I got pulled over the other day, and I refused to answer any questions, and I got told I was going to be charged with obstruction, and I said, let's go.
Well, you know what,
and
Bill?
He goes,
how many people will do that, though?
I said, let's go, and he said, go where? I said, well, they got the night court in Chula Vista. I want to go see a judge.
But most people won't take that stand. Most Americans will bow down to him. You know, and that's the problem here. There's a problem.
Well, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice, and you deserve what you tolerate.
You know, doing the shows that we do, and doing the shows like I do, the way I do my show, is like, you know, listen, I'm American. I'm using my First Amendment rights. Phil, you know that I've already had to get a lawyer involved with my weight, you know, and I mean, you know that this is I'm the real fucking deal. You know, so when people say to me, what are you doing about it? I tell them, well, this is what I do. And this is what I do on a regular basis. And I call the son of a bitch out. And what do you do? Then I say, well, what are you doing? Nothing. Complaining about it? Why don't you do something? You know, get out there. Make other people aware of it. You know, do a show. Get on and do a show. Do a blog. You know, help get the word out. You know, because there are a lot of people that are still asleep. I mean, I don't know if it's the McDonald's food or the shit that Monsanto's putting in all the GMOs, but, you know, this country is in really, really bad shape. And, you know, there's some evil shit happening in this country, man.
You know,
it's getting worse every day. It's not just here and there. It's getting worse every day. And it seems where some people, you know, they're fighting for the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, whatever it takes. But no matter, you know, how so many people are out there to fight for what they believe in and what they feel is right, there are so many other ones that are overriding the ones that are trying to get it straight. This country is gone to shit, and it's not coming back.
See, that's a perception that they give us in the mainstream media, because mainstream media is controlled by the globalists in the White House. They control mainstream media. So mainstream media will tell everybody Obama's approval rating has gone up. They'll tell everybody that, you know, for every one person that's not happy in this country, 55 are. And people believe mainstream media. They're full of shit. Right?
Exactly.
And the reason, I don't know if you're paying attention a lot to what's going on in the last 3 weeks, but they're really now starting to set their sites on the internet and what they call alternative news people like myself. So they want us off the web. They want us off the web because we've helped to awaken people. They want us off the web because we're not gonna tell people the story they want us to tell. We're going to tell people the truth. And they're not interested in the fucking truth. So there are 315 million people in this country, supposedly. And what I have to say is that out of 315 million people, there are like 535 people that work between the Senate and Congress and the White House. 535. They might have another, say, a million or so in the armed services.
Right.
And from what I understand, in the armed services, the reason we have so many people coming from different parts of the world and training here with our military, and most recently the Russians signing on to do a lot of private work over here, they've already arrived in this country. The reason we have that is because NSA, with their spying program, they've been listening to everybody. They've been listening to everybody's phone calls, everything, right? They know.
They're listening right now.
Right, and it doesn't matter if you're just, if I'm saying, hey, Hermes, how you doing today? And then we end the call. It doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. It matters. Wait a minute. Listen. The reason, why do you think you're seeing all these guerrilla warfare people and armies being brought in from the other parts of the world, all right, the United Nations Army? Why do you think they're being brought here? Because the government has been listening to all these phone calls, and they've been listening to the phone calls from our own servicemen and women.
Right.
And they know that the vast majority of the American servicemen and women will not take up arms against their own because of what's been going on with this country, how fucked up it is. So what they've done is they brought in armies from outside of America that will go against us. You follow me?
Yep.
Exactly. No, I understand exactly where you're at, because this is how you have to look at it. You and Phil do a show, okay? You're on a list. Any listeners that come to your show are put on the list because they look at us as anti-Americans. We're not anti-Americans. We never have been. The only thing is we have an opinion, and we're not following the flock.
Right. Right. Now, the numbers. Let's do the numbers again. The 315 million Americans. Let's go back to the numbers. What if half of those people woke up and said, you know what, we're not going to take it.
Right.
That's putting 150 million people out on the streets. There ain't a fucking army on this planet that can handle that many people.
No. And let me at least say this. When they had the G8 meeting here in Illinois, okay, when that took place here, that was something to watch, because there was, you know, the demonstrators going on doing what they're thing, you know, but they had military people that came back that were retired out, or maybe they were still, you know, in, still active. They were throwing their medals. They didn't care, because why? They're not going to go and knock on your door and say, hey, martial law, here we come.
Mm-hmm.
Get out. You know, they're against it. They know what the hell is going on, and that's stupid.
Right, exactly.
Well, I told you about the Army National Guard that came back to Sacramento. They're on the tarmac. The colonel walked out there and asked him, does anybody here have a problem with shooting Americans? Take a step forward. Everybody move back. Nobody wanted to do nothing.
How
they all
crazy
got charged,
is that?
They all got charged with disobeying a lawful order.
Okay, look at the devastation, the tragedy that took place in Boston. That was horrific. But there showed martial law right there at its best. On the airways, everywhere. What was taking place? It was just a bam, bam, bam. Get out of the house.
You know who caused that? You know who did that?
Go ahead and let me know.
The bombing in Boston, do you know who caused it?
Supposedly it was supposed to be something to do with Obama.
Not supposedly. That was actually put together by the FBI and the CIA. And those guys that they said they didn't know, because now think about this, okay?
Right.
At one point, they put the pictures of those two brothers up, right? And they said, help us identify these people, right?
Right.
They wanted the people to help identify those people. Well, what is fact is that those two brothers had been interviewed by the FBI several times. The oldest brother, the one that ended up dead, was working for the FBI. He was working for the FBI. So why the fuck did they put their pictures up and saying, please help us identify these guys, we don't know who they are?
Okay, here's the explanation behind that. How many people follow the flock?
How many people follow anything in this country?
Exactly. And it was put out there for everyone to see. Hey, guess what we just did and got away with, and look at how we accomplished to get in and out of everyone's home and tell them they have to get out.
Right.
No search warrant, no nothing. Out.
Nothing. And people were cheering them on when they left. They were cheering and chanting, USA, USA, USA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who are the ones that are, how do you... I'm sorry, I'm drawing a mind blank. It's almost like they were programmed.
They
you know
programmed.
What I mean?
Everybody in this country has been programmed. Check this out. The brother that was in the boat?
Right.
Okay.
The one that's going to be serving a life sentence? Yeah. Or a death penalty, whatever they gave him.
Well, check this out, okay? I don't know if you were paying attention to that whole thing, but they had pictures of him coming out of that boat. He was sitting on the side of the boat after they were able to locate him. And by the way, they never located him. The cops didn't find him. They had 9,000 police officers, Army, ATF, FBI, right, and DEA agents out there, 9,000.
Right.
We didn't find that fucking kid. You know who found that kid? Was the guy that owned the house after they said, all right, everybody can come out. When they lifted the martial law, the guy
I
went
know.
Outside with a cigarette. He found the fucking kid in the boat.
So turned him in.
All the show of force and military might, they didn't even find the fucking kid. So now the kid's on the side of the boat, right, and there's a picture of him, clearly, on the side of the boat. There's nothing wrong with his throat, and there's nothing wrong with his, like they said, he shot himself, right? He didn't even have a weapon. That's a fact.
Right.
Now, 20 seconds after they get him off the boat, he's on the ground, and you have an ATF agent on him who just happened to have a surgical kit and surgical gloves cutting his throat open.
Yeah.
Why? Does anybody
Give
know why?
Give her the evidence. Give her the evidence. They didn't want him to talk.
Exactly. He wasn't supposed to live, but the morons pumped over 200 bullets into that boat, and they couldn't even kill the kid.
Yeah,
so now,
and did you see that they made a damn page to help that man collect money to replace his boat? Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah,
the boat.
Yeah, to replace his boat.
Yeah.
You missed the show last week. Wednesday before that, on my show, we had the guy that actually ended up with the body to bury him, and it caused quite a commotion, and people were protesting at his funeral parlor. He was on my show 2 weeks ago. And he'll be back on real soon.
Okay.
That whole thing was set up by the FBI and the CIA. And that's been proven.
I came across something in regards to that. At first, they were trying to say it was Obama, you know, because Obama wanted to show the force of, watch, I can put martial law in effect and it's going to work. And people are going to listen and they're going to step down or stand down. You know, and they showed the public to stand out and to help them when they couldn't figure it out. I mean, and don't get me wrong, Boston, like Chicago, it's a big town. But if they have that many agents and you can't find two people, there's a problem, don't you think?
Well, yeah, there's 9,000. You can't find a 19-year-old kid.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
With all the equipment that they have at their disposal.
Right.
Well, I knew it was fishy.
Fishy? That thing is so fucking fishy. Let me tell you, look. But the thing is, now they get caught doing this because there were so many people that are called, quote, alternative media. There were so many people out there with their own cameras, iPhones and shit, that they started taking pictures and everything and shooting video when this thing went down. And the feds weren't ready for that.
No.
And it
no.
showed they killed several private security companies, private military companies that were there. Now, they announced at the run, at the beginning of the run, that there was a drill taking place that day. They announced it because there was more National Guard and bomb sniffing dogs around there than ever before. And people were wondering. And so they told the people, look, nothing to worry about. There's a drill taking place today. And the drill was, unbeknownst to the people, the drill was, they're going to blow up the fucking, they're going to blow up some people so they can gain control and flex that muscle you were talking about and say, all right, we're going to have to lock down the city and put martial law into effect because we've got to find the guys that did this.
Right.
And who did it? The government did it. Barack Obama was in Boston a week before that the Boston Marathon, and he met with his pal, the governor, and they had a little tea together, and they spoke, and then he left. I believe that he came in to tell him personally, because don't forget, they're listening to every conversation. They're listening to every phone call. They're listening to everything, and Obama has to know that. So he comes in personally to speak to DeVal Patrick and tell him, look, there's going to be a drill. And if anything happens, it's a drill, all right? It's a practice thing. So you got to be able to stand down and keep your state police and everybody, keep them down. And then he goes back out of town, takes off. Now, here's an interesting thing that people seem to forget about, they don't want to talk about, especially mainstream media. Right after that bomb blew up, they had a Saudi Arabian kid in the hospital.
Oh, and they hurried up and got him out of the country.
Yeah. He went from
because there is a deal with Saudi Arabia.
Because his father and all his uncles, shot callers, they're top brass in Al-Qaeda. That's a fact. As a matter of fact, what most people don't realize, and the ones that do remember it, they forget because the American's attention span is about 3 minutes. Barack Obama's skanky-ass wife came to Boston that night and visited him in the hospital. She spent time with that kid in the hospital. That's a fact. They've got pictures of her in the hospital. The hospital won't deny it. Nobody denies it. The White House doesn't
right.
deny it. She came to visit that fucking terrorist in the hospital. Now...
Yeah, but they made it appear that he was of... And what they were claiming is they had to hurry up and skedaddle that kid out of here because his family was a top Saudi national, and that's how they hurried up and got him out of the country. That's what they were claiming at the time. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're chasing two kids, saying that these kids did this bombing. But you hurry up and secretly get the Saudi Arabia kid out of the country really quick. Bam.
He was in on it. He had injuries. He was in on it.
Right.
Right. He wasn't at the hospital to like spend just you know to say hi to sick kids. He was injured.
Right.
He was in on the bomb blast. All right. So now they sneak him out of the country. But what happens is before Barack Obama's wife gets up here, but before he shows up in Boston. He gets called into, this is all factual stuff, right?
Right.
He gets called into the embassy, the Saudi Arabian embassy in Washington before he can leave for Boston. He goes in and meets with the Saudis in the embassy, comes out, the kid gets fucking hurried off back to Saudi Arabia, right? And then Barack Obama goes about, you know, telling everybody that, you know, it's the terrorist thing, it's homegrown terrorists. You know what? You know what they had? You know who they had lined up for to blame this for? And this is a fact. They had a group of people from the Tea Party. You know, you're familiar with the Tea Party in America,
yeah.
right?
Right.
You have the Constitution and everything, right? They were going to blame a couple of white guys from the Tea Party for that bombing. It's a fact. It's a fact. Now, all of that shit... unraveled, all right? And when they, on my website, I mean, the picture's been all over the place. You can find it on, if you Googled it.
Right.
The guy on the roof, there's a guy on the roof when the bomb goes off. Well, some kid just happened to take a picture. As the bomb went off, some kid took a picture with his iPhone. And what he didn't notice is that there's a guy up on the roof of the building where the bomb went off underneath. There's a guy standing up on the building looking down, right?
Oh, I saw that guy that was there.
Yeah, you saw that picture? Well,
yeah.
How come nobody wanted to know who that guy was? How come nobody identified
exactly.
that guy?
Exactly. That's why I knew it stunk as soon as, and don't get me wrong, like I said, it was a horrific thing and how mm-hmm. they portrayed it to be, okay? And unfortunately, mm-hmm. innocent people got hurt.
Yeah.
That was hideous.
But you know what? To the people that do this, the people that are behind this, there's no such thing as innocent people. They're just people
right.
in the way. They're people
oh,
in
I know.
The way. Yeah. So and they kill. This is what they do. They do this on a regular basis. They kill all the time, these people. That's part of their shit. I mean they just
right.
love killing, right? And so now that the alternative media jumped on to it and started spreading the news and swapping evidence. Because
information, right.
It's all evidence. I mean, you got pictures of, well, here's another thing that of all the people that showed up, the people that were military people that were told to show up in those private military groups, they don't show up for free. They get paid to show up.
Right.
They were all told to bring black backpacks. All of them. Now, why would you want everybody there to have a black guy?
So that way somebody couldn't decipher who is who.
Right. You wouldn't know which one had the actual bombs in it, would you?
Exactly.
Well, there's another theory out there. Let me put it that way. This thing is a theory. Where the brothers, the backpacks that they were wearing as they were walking by, because they were videotaped walking by the storefront.
Right.
Okay, the backpacks that they show on those kids' backpacks, there's a private investigation company that went out and bought the same exact backpacks.
Right.
And they bought the same exact pressure cookers, right?
Right.
And they found that the pressure cookers that the government was saying were in those backpacks wouldn't fit in those backpacks. So that theory says that the backpacks that the two brothers had couldn't have possibly had the bombs in them.
But, you know, I find it interesting, though, because the parents to the two sons, okay, now
mm-hmm.
even though they were in their country, okay,
mm-hmm.
and they were speaking out before stepping here to the States, okay,
mm-hmm.
Here it's like they knew it was a setup. They knew.
Yeah. No.
Okay. And, you know, how sad is that? Why go to that length? Is that for the government to say, we have bigger balls than the citizens and we can do what we want? And guess what? We got the followers. They're going to listen. And, you know, the other ones will just take care of them. How sick is that? For what?
Well, not only is it sick, but it's also criminal. See, they should maybe
it is.
You need to be brought up on charges. Right? That's the
but
real.
But that's not going to happen.
Well, you can't
of
say
who
that.
They are.
No, you can't say that because this isn't over. This is
right.
not over. Okay.
No, it's not.
See,
over.
They want it to be over, right? And they're trying everything they can to make it like disappear. Well, because Americans, the attention span of an American is a fucking embarrassment. Okay.
It is.
People like myself, right? There's also, I don't know if you ever listened to Infowars.com, Alex Jones.
Oh, I love that.
I do. You got a big Infowars.com sticker on my camera. I do video work, television work. I got a big Infowars.com sticker on my camera. I'm doing a video. I don't know if you're familiar with the Monsanto video revolt that's taking place July 24th. They've asked everybody to put a short video together, whether it's a minute or 10 minutes or 5 minutes,
right.
and upload it on the 24th against Monsanto and explaining why you should bring Monsanto not only to its knees, but put them out of business.
Right.
And there are
mm-hmm.
a lot of people that are dedicated to this. It's just, the thing is, people need to be plugged into the right channel, all right? It's like if you're going to watch Dancing with the Stars and it's on Channel 7, well, fuck, if you put on Channel 5, you're going to miss Dancing with the Stars. This is not on Channel
right.
5. Right? So there are a lot
of... I'm glad you brought that up about TV. Check this out. I found this interesting.
Something.
wait, let me finish. It's the most frequently used words on television. I just sent this to you. But propaganda is the art of selling people a reality they would never choose on their own. One of the found tricks and simple tricks of propaganda is selling people what they already have. Or if you don't know they already have it, if you didn't realize the sale is unnecessary, they won't recognize the sleight of hand operation. Out of 29,713,800 words, 713,800 words, including the massively used A and the, you, me, and like the word home, ranks 100%. From the top. Mom is 218. Together is 222. Family is 250. If you think this is hardly surprising, that's because you've been relentlessly bombarded with propaganda about family for years. In the end, all we have is family. Family is the most important thing. Our team is really like a family. Our company is a family. We take a step back. Everyone is born into a family. It may be wonderful, it may be terrible. It might be just okay. It may be a whole or broken, but it's a family. In the same way that protecting a baby with a stroller that looks like Pat and Tank is excessive, the ideal of family has been pushed beyond any rational boundary. And there's a reason for this. If you want to embed and entangle an individual, group, or collective and train him to think it's inevitable, what better way than to start with the family? It's apparent conditioning. Television promotes family as a monitor of the independence of the individual. Fathers and mothers operate as cautionary and commanding figures in the landscape. Don't do that. Don't go over there. Be careful. Don't move away from town. Don't take a chance. Stop dreaming. Why can't you be like everybody else? Take a safe path, I think as a family thinks. It's mandatory for a politician to campaign with family. Put them up on a stage. The impressions. They're all perfect sync. Government has become a surrogate parent. It gives and it takes. It dispenses gifts, but it also makes arbitrary rules. Remind you of anybody?
Hey. How about using the word father and mother as hate speech? The Department of Justice, Eric Holder, made it a policy within the Department of Justice that no one is to use the words husband or mother or wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might offend gay people. Now, I got to tell you something, all right? This is a free country, and people are free to kiss fucking trees if they want to kiss trees, all right? But because you want to kiss a fucking tree doesn't mean I got to hide that I'm a fucking heterosexual and I can't talk about my wife or my girlfriend because I might offend someone that likes to have sex with a fucking tree or whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
We've taken that fucking shit way too far. I mean, here's my problem with that is that, all right, look, if you live in a lifestyle that I don't approve of, that I don't live, that's you. That's your business. But don't tell me that I can't have my fucking lifestyle. Don't tell me that I have to buy into your fucking lifestyle. Don't give me that bullshit. That's where I get offended. That's where I get really fucking offended. It's like, look, if you want to suck face with a fucking turtle, fine. But don't tell me because you're sucking face with a turtle that I got to give up my rights to talk about my wife and my children because I might offend a fucking pisser. Fuck that. You know? But that fucking piece of shit, Eric Holder, without policy, and that's a fact, that in his department, the Department of Justice, we're talking about America here now, you can't talk about fathers, husbands, or mothers because you might offend a gay person. You know, how fucked up is that? What's really fucked up?
It is. That's just as bad as the government saying we can't talk about the weather because it's a secret code if you say something about the weather. What is the code?
I don't know.
If you get severe thunderstorm, you know, and here, this is a good example here. We had a really huge storm coming. So we had tornadoes, you know, coming around the area, okay? So I thought, okay, there's a lot of people in my state I grew up with, you know, on my Facebook page. I go to put it out there. Tornado warnings for X amount of counties, okay? And you know what? I could not post that. I asked a friend of mine. I said, do me a favor. I got up on an IM with a friend of mine that I grew up with. Do me a favor. For some reason, I can't post this. Can you please get on my wall and post this so people are aware what's coming, okay? He wasn't able to do it either. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, some messages you can do and some you can't. If they don't want you to do it, there's a writer on it that won't let you. It's just like if you want to paste something off a page. If it's got it encrypted, you can't get it.
But, you know, and this is what I find is ridiculous. It's like, okay, what, you have to wait for, you know, the thing to scroll across your TV, tornado warning, take shelter now, when it could be like, you know, a couple of doors down from your house. What the hell is wrong with people? You know what I mean? But again, this is the government taking over and watching what we do. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of us are bad. and even the ones that are bad or have a record. So the hell what? They paid their dues. Let them be. If they're not getting into trouble, let them be. Leave them alone. But
yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Well,
you know, I mean, let me tell you something. If I have a cop rolling up in my driveway, where's your warrant? Get the fuck out of here. I don't care. You're on my property.
How's this? The most vicious, dirty, rotten criminals are not people that have been in prison. They're not people that get arrested robbing banks. They're not people riding motorcycles. They're not people that go out and rob people. They are the people that dress in nice, tailored suits that have gone to school at places like Harvard University.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are in office. Those are the people that run those major corporations that are fucking us to death. Those
mm-hmm.
are the biggest criminals on the planet. And they speak eloquently. They're very well trained. They look good. They look good in their suits and they're manicured. They're just so professional. They're the most vicious.
That's why the Indians said white man speak with forked tongue.
That's right.
They do. They do.
But I just go ahead.
Philip, I want to thank you, man. I see that the time is almost out here. I want to thank you for letting me on here, man, and blow off some steam on your show. I'll be on tomorrow night. You're welcome to come on over and join in over there tomorrow night, my brother. And your friend there, too, wants to check it out. What's your name over there in Illinois?
That's Nora.
Oh, Nora, okay.
It's okay. I didn't know that you were still doing the show because it was like you were on Facebook, then you were gone. I'm like, oh, what happened?
I love Facebook because of what you were just saying. They kept censoring me. So I got tired of, you know what, go fuck yourself. Don't censor me. I don't have time for this shit, and I left there. Fuck them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Fuck. That's my song to them. I don't need them. You know?
Yeah,
they,
I got a time out for a video I posted about shooting cops.
Everybody should leave. Hey, everybody should leave Facebook. We don't need them. They need us. That little punk. Hey, that puke bastard became a billionaire because of the people that now he's fucking over. He's fucking over the people that made him rich.
Exactly. Yep. And remember, as soon as he made all his money, he couldn't wait to bolt out of this country.
Yeah. What?
What a piece of shit.
That's why I was gone from Facebook. There's no other reason. I just got tired of, like, trying to post shit, the truth, and having them fucking knock it down. So I said, no, fuck this. I got a radio show until they throw that off the air, and my lawyers will go after that. And I got a website that I can do it on, and they can kiss my balls on that one. Excuse my language. But, you know, they're not going to speak to me.
No, I understand what you're saying because, you know, my daughter had my grandson 7 months ago, and he was born with a defect. If it wasn't for me making a community page about it, I would have jumped off it because it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, well, they can't censor me if I keep posting food recipes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What, you don't like, chocolate cake or something? Get over it.
Well, you got to think for all you people that are out there listening and for Philip and everybody, instead of using Google now to do your searches because we know that they give all your information to the government, the world's most private and safest search engine is startpage.com. Startpage.com. They
mm-hmm.
are out of the Netherlands. They don't have to abide by U.S. law. They're out of the Netherlands. And here's why they can never give anything to the government, even if the government went in to try to get it forcefully. They don't keep your information. They don't even keep your address. They don't hold on.
I got that last year because I watched InfoWars.
Exactly. InfoWars.
Exactly.
So I
told that to people, they're like, well, I don't believe you. I'm like, well, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, that's how people are in this country. I'm getting to the point where, you know what, I speak out and I speak to a large audience, and at times I think I'm really going to, like, be speaking to myself because most of the times I tell people, like, listen, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, if you doubt any of this shit, you know, look into it for yourself. This is all verifiable. And if you're too fucking lazy to do that, screw. I don't need you listening to my show. Go fuck yourself. If you can't even educate yourself to what you're doing, I don't want you listening to me. And someday I'll be talking to myself, I guess. I don't know. But you know, it's like people need to wake up, man. You know, and it isn't people like us. We're awake. It's the people that, you know,
It's everybody else. When I try talking to people, they're like, what the hell are you talking about? Or, you know, this isn't taking place. I'm like, okay, when you're ready to pull your head out of your ass, I'll talk to you.
That's right.
Hey,
well,
all right,
brother, I'm going to cut out. I'll talk to you later, brother. Thank you for letting me in here and jam up with you guys. And, Nora, take care. Good talking to you again.
Same here.
Stay safe, everybody. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.